speak about an inyan today, which although not directly connected to the parsha, even though Yirtzeh Hashem we will deal with inyanim, certain ideas in Parshat Emor, I'd like to speak about an event, a holiday of some sort, a Yom Kadosh, a holy day, that will occur in Yirtzeh Hashem this week, and that is Pesach Sheni. And I think Pesach Sheni is one of those days that happens in the Jewish calendar year, that as the Sefer Ha'aroh says, we don't say Tachanun, we eat some matzah, and that's all of our connection to Pesach Sheni. And obviously, if there's a day marked on the Jewish calendar, so then on some level, this day, albeit we don't have a sacrifice today, and albeit we don't celebrate technically Pesach Sheni, it still behooves us to try to understand the depths of Pesach Sheni and see how we can be able to access, on whatever level, wherever we are, the message of Pesach Sheni, so we can celebrate Pesach Sheni on a deeper level this year, and not only Pesach Sheni, but the entire week which Pesach Sheni ushers in, the fifth week of the Sfira, the week of Hod, which has in it on the fifth day, Lag BaOmer, and we also have to understand the dynamics of the week of Hod, and we will touch in on Lag BaOmer as well, the Mir Tzashem. On a technical level, where does Pesach Sheni come from? So we know the Chumash tells us that in source number 3, this is from Rabbi Eliyahu Kito's Sefer HaToda'ah, when Israel offered the first Pesach sacrifice in the second year after they left Egypt, there were among them who had become ritually impure through contact with the corpse. There's machloket in the Mefarshim whether these were the ones who were carrying the bones of Yosef HaTzadik, or perhaps these were the ones who took out Nadav and Avihu's body from the Kodesh Kodashim. Whatever it is, they were what we call Tamei LaNefesh, and therefore weren't able to bring the Korban Pesach. They weren't able to bring the Paschal sacrifice in the right time. And they approached Moshe and Aaron, and they said, and this is the pasuk, my friends, why should we be considered deficient? Right? In the Hebrew, nigra. Why should we be considered lacking and not offer the sacrifice to God at the appointed time with the rest of the people? They knew they would not be punished for their inability to bring the sacrifice was a result of circumstances beyond their control. However, they were concerned that they would not receive the great reward for bringing the sacrifice, and they had, as we'll see in Yirtzeh Hashem today, a deep desire to be able to fulfill this mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So they go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, stand here, like Davin. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu responds and says, they're right. And in their schus, in their merit, they merit to have an extra halacha, an extra parsha in the Chumash, given in as a result of their request. And this is what the halacha is. Second paragraph in 14. The first paragraph in source 13, the Torah states, speaks to the children of Israel, saying, any man who is ritually impure because of contact with a corpse, or who is distant, in the second month, on the 14th day in the evening, he shall bring it, and it shall be eaten with matzahs and maror. The 14th of Iyar is not a festival or a holiday. However, the day is one during the period when the Beit HaMikdash stood was a time of rejoicing for those who had fulfilled the obligation to bring the Pesach offering. Therefore, the date is considered to be somewhat special, and as we noted, Tachanun is not recited. And it's interesting that one can look in sources 2 and 4a and 4b, that when the Korban Pesach was brought, although Hallel was said during the preparation, just like a regular Korban Pesach, the fascinating thing is they ate this with matzahs and maror, with chametz in their house. So it wasn't the whole full-blown Pesach as we experience it today, but they did have the ability to make up that korban, make up that sacrifice, and be able to bring the korban Pesach. When I look at this story, a number of questions come to our mind. The first is, and this is in source number 5, the very obvious question, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that there's going to be a universal time to be able to offer korban Pesach, If you missed out the first time, you would have a month later on the 14th day of the Iyar, the evening of the 14th day of the Iyar, to make up for it. Why was it after a 30-day period? Would it not have made more sense that any time a person became pure after a week, 2 weeks, then bring the sacrifice, let it be a very individual thing based on every individual whenever they become pure, because after all, there's coming to your house and everything is regular, just for the individual to make a Korban Pesach. Why is it that there was a universal Pesach Sheni after a 30-day period? And the second question, which is what we asked, is how can we tap into this energy of Pesach Sheni? What lessons does it bring to our lives? So the first approach, and I think we'll see three lessons for Pesach Sheni for our lives, that hopefully in Yirtzeh Hashem we can tap into on many different levels. The first being the most esoteric and then moving down perhaps to the most practical. There's a very interesting Zohar, which is brought in the Sefer Sfaradim Lachem, as well as in the Siva Shalom. But the Zohar HaKadosh talks about that when Knesset Yisrael, Kevan she Knesset Yisrael she yashrin mitateret vatarotea benisan, when there is, the Shechina receives the great crown and the great light on the first day of Pesach, this crown, this light, stays in this world for 30 days until Yudalit B'Iyar. And Mishirotzeh, the end of 6 day, Lerota Tamakah, Dahainu Lekabel Mimena Harot, Yachol Lalopa Kosol Shinyot. We, my friends, are right now still in the 30 days. We're still at the end of the fourth week of the Omer. So if we would want to, we can still tap into the energy of Pesach itself at this time. And then comes a cruise, comes a declaration that Kol Mi Shelo Haya Yachol Adata Lerot HaTamakah Shiyas Shechina, one who has not yet had the opportunity of experiencing his closeness to Hashem on Pesach, and to be able to get from it the Ha'aros, the light and the energy, they should do so before the gates are closed. But there is, however, another declaration that's made, that in Yud Dalet, at the end of the 30 days, another declaration is made that says the gates will remain open another 7 days. Ki adayin hara Pesach Hasheni meira keneged shivas yimei Pesach harisha. Pesach Sheni, we'll see the glow, the honor, the energy is similar in certain respects to the first day of Pesach, and therefore, because first round of Pesach lasted 7 days, so from Pesach Sheni for 7 days, one can still tap into the energies of the original Pesach. And this, in the Siva Shalom, the Soman Rebbe, Zatzal develops when he says that the whole idea of Pesach is the idea that we know in the Aaron source 7, the Pasuk says, Vayashem lamelech hakol arach, and God will be king on the whole land by Yom Ahu on that day. Yehashem achad ushma achad. He will be one, and his name will be one. And we know, we speak about in the Haggadah, that we have the matzah or marum nachim lefanecha in front of us on this day. By Yom Ahu lo amarti, el b'shash matzah umarum nachim lefanecha. So the night of Pesach has the bechina of Bayom Ahu, has this aspect, even though it's not day, it's night, but we call it Bayom Ahu because it has the aspect of that day. It has the aspect of the future. It has the aspect of that deep divine revelation of closeness to Hashem. And this is what these people felt that they were lacking. And that's what they said wasn't fair. That here, it's not only that they wanted to bring the sacrifice of the Korban Pesach, but they also very much wanted to tap into this energy of the future vision of the Vayom Ahu, the time that Hashem is so close to us. As the Sefer Aros notes in source number 9, that the entire experience of Pesach was an experience of Achana L'Matan Torah, was an experience of preparation for the receiving of the Torah. And they felt that they were lacking in this preparation. And therefore, since Pesach is a time of this closeness, Pesach is the time that Klal Yisrael are chosen. It's a time of Ahava, it's a time of closeness. And this closeness even begins in Source 10. 30 days before Pesach, already from Purim. Yotzei Nishmat Ish Yisrael B'chol Yom V'Yomei Chalacher Shel Tuma. A Jew and leaves, exit every single day of the 30 days, a different aspect of impurity to prepare for the Torah Menucha to be purified by the time Pesach comes. And because of the intensity of the purification, not only down here cleaning the crumbs, but spiritually that we got elevated each and every day to higher spiritual levels, and we know that Hashem meets our desire to be purified and to come close with the Nisrus of Dileila and awakening from above, that intensity of closeness is what leads the Pesach experience not only to be beginning 30 days before the festival, but last 30 days after the festival as well. That's the 30 days when that light, when that energy is still available. The Chiddush is in Source 11. After the 30 days, there is the ability of Pesach Sheni for 7 more days, which is the aspect of that Hashem's right hand kivyachol is open to bring in those who want to return. Because Hashem doesn't want to push anyone away. So therefore, the Har of Pesach, which happened on Erev Pesach and lasts for 30 days, Hashem said, I will give another opportunity for those who miss this intensity of experience to be able to tap into it, and that's Pesach Sheni. And that is why he notes at the end of 11, the middle of 11, that is why it can't be any time a person is purified. There has to be a universal time. Because during these 30 days after Pesach, you could say, you know what, give them a week, and then a week after Pesach, let them bring the Korban Pesach. No, because a week after Pesach, there's still that energy from Pesach itself, which they didn't benefit from. They weren't on a level yet, because of their impurity, to be able to tap into, to grasp that energy. So therefore, we have to wait till that entire experience of the first Pesach is finished, is completed, 30 days later, and then Hashem opens a new gate. And that gate is the gate of 7 more days. It's a Shar Meyucha Bein Yilasha. At the time when God is closing the gate, He opens up a special gate of where Elu Shelo Yachlu Lakrif Pesach Ad Ko, to those who are unable to bring Pesach until now. And this Pesach Sheni, which begins the 5th week of Sfiras HaOmer, is an incredible opening to the week which is known in the Sfiros, without getting into too much Kabbalistic ideas here because it's beyond my own realm. It's the week of Hod. We know, you've seen in your Sidurim, that usually in small print, we know that there's 7 Sfiros, beginning with Chesed, kindness, Gevura, strength, Tiferet, the combination of Chesed and Gevura. And then we move into, and this is really the parallel to the Zayin Shvizim, to Netzach and Hod, and then Yesod, and it ends with Malchus. The 5th week is the week of Hod. And we know that the week of Hod, as we'll speak about in a moment, is a week of, one of the lower levels of the Sfiros. And it's specifically at this lower level time that Hashem makes these new gates opened up for these people. And it's specifically in this week that we have Lag BaOmer, which is also a time of Ha'arah, a time of light, a time when those who are on the Bechina of the Nemuchos, on the lowest level, can be able to find themselves footing to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the gift, as we'll see in a moment, of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And that's why the Nesiva Shalom notes that while technically the Chumash in Source 12 is talking about who brings the Pesach Sheni, one who's Tamar Lenefesh, one who's impure, or Bederech Rechokah, who's in a far distance, or was far away from the Beis HaMikdash, philosophically, the Tamar Lenefesh are people who have issues with Kedusha, with holiness, and the Derech Rechokah, those who are far in their Amuna. These are people who on the first round of Pesach weren't able to tap into this light, to this energy. They're distant, they're pushed away, they have issues, they have challenges, And Hashem is teaching us by Pesach Sheni. And my friends, this is the first Yisod of Pesach Sheni of the three, that nobody is ever completely pushed away from Hashem. And even these people who have challenges and difficult in their Amunah, in their Narnei Kedusha, in their areas of holiness and faith, there's always a room, there's a special door that's open for them, and that door is Pesach Sheni. And that's why the Sefer Shalom concludes this essay in 13. He says, even though we don't have the sacrifices today, Mikol Makom Hem Kayimim Bekalach, the asterisk in 13, the conceptual aspect of both Pesach as well as Pesach Sheni stand. On Pesach, we try to leave Egypt, and on Pesach Sheni, we try to be able, when those who are distant, to be able to come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the job of Pesach Sheni, of Lebal Yidach Menu Midach, that all of Klal Yisrael can reach Kabbalah Satorah, no matter what, no matter where, no matter who you may be. This week of Ho, just a moment on it, is the week which, as Simonati Tefer Rav Wilson points out, as we mentioned, is one of the lower levels of the seven spheros. And the Midah of Hod is the Bechina of Bittul. It's the idea of nullification. It also comes from Hoda'a, which means to give thanks. And that's why Hod is very much connected to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why Hod, right? If Avram, it's the first week of Chesed, the fifth week, the fifth Ushpizi, according to many counts, it's that of Aaron HaKohen, who's connected to the Beis HaMikdash. And as is noted in the Sefer Flames of Faith, Netzach, dominance, and Hod, subservience or empathy, source 20, is represented by Elijah with the right and left foot, respectively. The feet allow an individual to stand. And these two behaviors represent two modes of survival. How to remain standing despite challenges. So, for instance, a man is walking to his destination and there's suddenly a devastating storm, so he could continue unbent fighting through the elements, and that's netzach. That's dominance. That's victory. Or he can crouch and wait for the storm to pass over, and that's hope. That's survival through submission, and that's also Aaron HaKohen, who gave in to the people to try to make them happy as much as he could with the story of the Egel HaZohar. Aaron HaKohen, who has this midah of bittul, nullification, who was happy when he met Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of Source 19, he is the week of Hod, and Aaron HaKohen really represents this model of trying to bring everybody close to God, of showing to be Ohev Shalom, Verodev Shalom, and he was Makarva, and he brought people closer to Hashem. That's the idea of the week of Hod. That's the idea of Pesach Sheni. No matter what you've done, bring people closer. That's what the Hasidic Sfarim speak about at the end of 16. Pasuk says, Balot Aaron Taneirot Ben Harbayim, when Aaron would light the candles Ben Harbayim. The candles are a reference to our neshamas, and Ben Harbayim are our neshamas, the twilight neshamas of the Ikvasa de Mashiach. Even those who are so distant, Aaron tried to ignite their souls. And that's why it's very appropriate that this week of Hod is the week we celebrate on the fifth day of this week. We celebrate Lag BaOmer, Yudchat Iyar, because Lag BaOmer is the time of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And the greatness of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was teaching the people that no matter who you are, no matter what you are, every person is connected to a letter in the Sefer Torah. And just like in the Torah, every letter can be understood on the levels of Pardes, Pshat, Remesh, Drash, and So, the simple level, or the Samech, the So, the secret, hidden level, every individual has a simple way we see them and we interact with them, but they also have the So, the deeper part to them. And the idea of Aaron HaKohen and the idea of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the idea of what the week of Hod is about is to be able to see within every person, and my friends, equally important, if not more important, to see within ourselves this koach that we have, this closeness that we have, that when we feel distant, when we watch the flame for those who have this close, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, the bonfires of Lag BaOmer, those fire are the flames within us that are desire and passion. As flames move upward, it's watching the deeper part of ourselves being able to have that yearning for closeness to Hashem. And this is why, my friends, at source number 14, the Sichor Yitzchazkut brings down for the Kashan Sermag a very beautiful idea that the 7 weeks of Sefirah to Omer correspond, the first 3 weeks, to the three matzahs, and the last 4 weeks to the four kosos, the four cups of wine of Pesach. Because we know that Pesach is to Shavuos, Ramban speaks about like Chol HaMoed, Pesach and Shavuos are really attached, the Atzeret, Shavuos being the last day of Pesach, so to speak. And he says, if we understand this, so then the first 3 weeks correspond to the first three cups, the first three matzahs, so then the next 4 weeks correspond to the four cups of wine. So the fifth week falls out the second cup of wine. And the second cup of wine, we know, is when we pour that second cup of wine, the Haggadah tells us, the asterisk in 14, V'kan HaBen Shoel. That's what we have the Manishtana, right? First cup is Kiddush, the second cup is the Maki, V'kan HaBen Shoel, here the child asks. And the Hasidic Sfarim say, here the child asks, is us. At the Pesach Seder, we're able to ask whatever we want to. And therefore, this week of the second cup is also the week, V'kan HaBen Shoel, beginning by Pesach Sheni, culminating really in Lag BaOmer, but the entire week of Hol, the entire week of the fifth week of the Omer, is a time to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shefshar Lifobo Dvarim Atzumim. You can be able to ask and be able to obtain major things, whether it's in Ruchnias, whether it's Gashmios, particularly in Lag BaOmer, it's a very deep time of Tefillah. The gates of heaven are open, and this is a time to really use. If the entire pace, the entire sphera in 15 is Omer HaTnufa, which means new path, give a mouth, it's time to daven. The fifth week, the Kana Ben Shoel, is an intense time to daven. And it's a beautiful idea, because here Hashem opens a special opening for those who feel distant, for those who perchance feel, who am I to pray to Hashem? I'm so distant from Him. I'm filled with such sin. How am I? The Derech Rechoka, Tamei LeNefesh. Who am I to be able to daven to Hashem? Hashem says, Dafka you. Dafka you are the ones that I want to hear your voice. And that's the message, Rabbi Shimon Yochai and Lag BaOmer, the message of the uniqueness and specialness and the Kedusha of each and every Jew. And when we're aware of it, and when we act on this awareness, so our tefillah, our davening, takes on a much greater power because we realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is very close to us and desires our tefillahs. And that's why, in summation of this level, in source number 22, the Chassid Yaivitz writes in a Siddur, Gilulim Mehashamayim, they revealed to me from heaven the reason why we have Pesach Sheni on this day, because of the first year they ate from matzos until the night of the 15th of Iyar. ומכאן שהקדושה נמשכת הלילה הזה, וכי מצה וחמץ עמו בבית, כפי שהיה אז. And the Chidah writes at Yom Pesach Sheni, you should have more simcha, ki kadosh hayom, because the day is one of holiness. If that's the first message, that even those who are distant have that special opening that God opens, and even if they could tap into the energy of the 30 days, from Pesach to Yudalit B'Iyar, when everyone is connected, still there's a chance to be able to have your special opening, the week of Hod, the week of subservience, the week which is perhaps lower on the scale of the spheros, but Spedavka, those who are far away, are the most endeared to God. The second message of Pesach Sheni, and obviously there are many more, but the second one that I want to speak about, I think it's a very fundamental lesson for our lives. And I think it gives us really a direction to think about during this week of Hod and room to give us encouragement in our Avodas Hashem. Rav Rice has a beautiful essay in Kriyei Moed on Pesach Sheni. And in this essay, beginning in source 24, he speaks about how all of us go in through life with the ups and downs, what we call the mountains and valleys of life. Sometimes things come easier, sometimes things are harder. In the underline in 24, Li'itim hu nochel achzavot kasho, sometimes in life we have real major disappointments. U'matzeh atzmo b'tzvach, And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we don't see any way out. And it's and people, we can understand, would give up and say, you know what, there's no way out, I'm stuck, I just want to throw up my hands and give up. And this is not only true in the world of the physical world, whether it's with our parnasa, or it's a challenge that we have, an obstacle in relationships, it's also true in our ruchnias. And he speaks about this, he says, Davka ha'ish, Shechafetz liyot, the arrow in 24, Kanai matzvo v'shalemim kano, someone who wants to be honest with themselves in the relationship to God, can feel a certain achzava, a certain type of disappointment. They take a look at the past, and they say to themselves, you know, how many times did I say I was going to work on kavanah and davening? And how many times I made myself siyogim, and I tried to do this, and I tried to do that, and I said I'm going to focus on this line, and I made markers my siddur, and nothing helped. You think I'm going to be any successful in the future? And such a person is filled with yeosh, with despair. How can I go on? And this, both in the physical realm, psychological realm, in the spiritual realm, is something that plagues all of us, where we feel like, let's just throw up our hands, why move any further? But the truth is, my friend, that this is a mistake. And this is the idea that is really honed in the idea of Zecher Lutziat Mitzrayim, that we have all these mitzvot that remind us of the Exodus of Egypt, and how that is really the point of all of the chagim, all the holidays in the Jewish calendar year are there to raise us up, to give us Rontanu, to feel elevated from all the nations, to feel that feeling of upliftment. But why is everything over the nexus of Pesach? Because what Pesach teaches us is al shiliyush ein makom klal. What was Pesach about? They were Aron ve'Ariah. They had no mitzvos. What is Pesach about? Pesach is about that they were on the 49th level of Tumah. Halal of their Barazara, halal of their Barazara. The angel said, these guys are worshipping idols and these guys are worshipping idols. Why save the Jews? Jews and Egyptians alike are on a low level. Yitzhak Mitzrayim reminds us that even in a case when we were in the depths of depravity, even when we sunk and fell, we were able to have a Yitzhak, we were able to have an exodus. And that one can never say there is no hope, that it's lost. Ki Yehudi, the end of 27, Av Pam Eino Avud, no Jew is ever lost. Va'af mitot emek habocha, even in the valley of despair, mesugahu lalo lepetach tikva, he can enter into the gates of hope. And that is why there's such a great focus in our rubric of mitzvos on the Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim. My friend, if that is true of Pesach in general, don't despair, don't give up hope. Pesach Sheni is a bad, don't despair square. Where when these people in Source 39a say the following, they say, Sheilatam shol tamana shimat mihabi yoter. They themselves say they can't bring the Korban Pesach. So what does it mean when they say, Lama nigra? Why should we be left out? So he explains in 30b, that their question isn't a she'ela, it's not a question, ela mish'ala ha'ita. It's a request, it's a bakasha. They say, we know that we're technically not obligated. We know, anus rachmei patre, that if you're an anus, if you're forced, Hashem allows you this dispensation. We understand this. But we want to bring the Korban Pesach. We want another chance. We don't want to be in a state of despair and to say that when you're in a state of being stuck, that there's no way out. You know what Pesach Sheni is about? Yes, on one level it's about that anyone who's pushed aside, Labal Yidach Menunita, that Hashem brings closer. But it goes much deeper than that. It goes within ourselves when we feel that we have been pushed, when we feel that there is no hope for us. We're tamei lanefesh. We can't bring the korban. Even in such situation, when someone has such a bakasha, such a desire, such a rutzel, such a drive, yes, I too still want to bring it. There's an option to bring it. There is that ability, even in this case, to be able to accede to your request. And I think if we take a look at this, this is about the idea in 31 of Ein Davar Homei Bifnei HaRatzon. Nothing stands in the place of desire. And the Imre Emes would say, this is the bottom of 31, Hayam Mishanein Tadir Teimra, he would constantly say, repeat over, Ein Davar Homei Bifnei HaRatzon, that there's nothing that stands in place of desire. There's nothing, he interprets this phrase to mean, that can stop a person there's nothing stopping you from wanting to want. Nothing is stopping you from learning to desire and to want. And when you have this desire and you have this want, then you're able to see pilei plaim. It's interesting, I'd just like to add parenthetically, he notes in 32, that when we take a look, this is a Pesach word for next year, so mark it down in your planners already for next year. When we talk about Korech, we say Zechel l'mikdash kehillah. This is a recollection of what happened in the times of Hillel. Kenayah Hillel Ose, and the to Korech Matzah Maror, and the pasuk that is brought, L'kayei Mashenemar Amatzot Umarim Yochluhu. So the pasuk says, you eat it with Matzah Maror. The interesting thing is that that pasuk is not from Parshat Bo, dealing with the first Pesach, it's dealing with the second Pesach. And Rav Reitz brings down a very beautiful idea, because it's for us to say that while we're having our Pesach Seder without a Beis HaMikdash, at the Pesach Seder we allude to the Pesach Sheni, the Amatzot Umarim Yochluhu, to have this hope and desire. Yes, right now we're Tamei LaNefesh, right now we're Derech Rechoka, right now we have no Beis HaMikdash, but there's nothing stopping us for in a month from now to have a changed whole program, and that we could have the Pesach Sheni. I think there are two major ideas that we learn from this idea that Pesach Sheni is about not giving up hope. One, which I'll just mention, Kilach Hayat, so to speak, but I think it's an important one, it's the idea of their love for mitzvahs. And I think this has to be recognized here. They didn't want to be left out, even though they could have been left out, and even though they had a good excuse, and no one's blaming them, but their fervent desire for mitzvahs is what propel them to have this deep desire to daven to Hashem, to be able to have another opportunity. And this is a beautiful drash Moshe, Moshe Feinstein, in his Perush on Chumash, discusses so beautifully on this piece, that this is really a model for us, that even if we can't do mitzvahs, we can still show our love for mitzvah. So Moshe brings down here in 33, in the second column, he says it could be that a person isn't able to sit in a sukkah. They're old, it's whatever it is, that they're putter from the sukkah. But does that stop them from having a sukkah being built? Okay, they can't sit in it. But if they love the mitzvah, right? I'm not telling you what to do, I'm just explaining that concept here. If you love the mitzvah, you're going to want the mitzvah done. So let me have at least a sukkah built, even if I can't sit in it. That at least shows the expression of, I wish I could sit in it. It's not that I'm trying to get out of it. And that's how Ramosh explains so beautifully the bracha that we give to a boy or a girl when they're born. We say, Kishem shenichnas ken yikanes l'tora l'chupa l'maisim tovi. Right? Just like they entered into the brit, or their name was called, there's a bracha that they should be able to embrace Torah, enter into the chuppah, to get married, continuation of Klai Yisrael, Maisim Tovim. So as Rav Moshe, why do we need both Ma'asim Tovim and Torah? It's not mitzvos included in Torah. Torah is not only learning Torah. Torah is a whole lifestyle of Torah. So he says, V'lama mar trevayhu, el l'shehu bracha, the asterisk at the bottom of 34, el l'shehu bracha la'ava some mitzvos. Do you know what it means? Shikanes l'maisim tovim? It's a bracha that they should love maisim tovim. Shiaseh maisim tovim af elu shiachol lipater v'din. And that they want to do mitzvos even, as we spoke about last week, they don't even have to do. But their desire is to be able to do mitzvos and to be able to have this love for asiyas mitzvos. And that's why the Sefer Aruch says, this is the message perhaps of Pesach Sheni of our lives. Lo lekabel tewutzim latzmo lo lebater v'listapek bat malyot sov kol sov lo ani bala maitse v'nishar ani chaser v'garua. Don't make excuses. Don't say, well, you know, technically I didn't have to daven everything or whatever it is, and I have the ability to be able to say, if you love something and you desire something, Pesach Sheni on this first level, like 2A, is to say that I love Torah mitzvos and I, to the best of the ability and the life situation, the circumstances I'm in, I'm wanting to embrace them and not to run away from them, even if I have a good excuse. But then there's a second idea. And this second idea I'd like to develop much more deeply because I think it's really fundamental. Pesach Sheni is about taking control. Pesach Sheni is about saying, my life circumstances is not going to overcome who and what I am. But I have the ability to change and to make changes in my life. Very special sefer. There's a group of sefarim, Gam Ata Yachol, written by Rav Aaron Friedman, who is a sefer we quote all the time, Shvilei Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman's brother. He, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he himself is a psychologist, Rav Aaron Friedman, is a Belzer Rebbe Shamish, if I'm not mistaken. So we learned a lot of Shvilei Pinchas. It's appropriate that we also now begin learning his brother's psychology svarim, which are really Torah and psychology integrated, quite a number of svarim. So this is called Gam Ata Yachol. And he speaks about in 36, Hakisharon, the ability, lishlopa chayenu, to be able to take control over our lives, is something you can learn if you put in energy and effort. He said, you're right. For some people, it comes easier than to others. But he says, imagine if you were in a boat, and the boat was beginning to sink. Would you sit back and say, gee, nothing I can do, the boat is sinking. Gee, look at all that water coming in. No, you would fight for your life to be able to throw on towels and your shirt, whatever you needed to do to be able to stop up the hole to be able to save your life. And he says the same thing trolls true. L'kichat ha-shlita b'yadenu, taking control, zehu chevel hatzalah. That's our lifeline. And that's what we have to understand. And he says that ani v'atan 37, achraim akol ma'achei chayenu. We have control over our life. It doesn't matter what our matzaveinu b'chayim is, what our family is about, and where our circumstances are. And he says so beautifully, he says, we all have to have a ladder that moves upward toward God. Some of our ladders are planted on mountains, some on very rocky terrain, and some in valleys. But our job is to be able, to the best of our ability, to climb and not to make excuses. And he says that one of the, obviously it's very complex, but one of the michsholim, one of the obstacles that people have, is their inability to recognize their ability to take control of their lives. And to a certain extent, people feel imprisoned by their life circumstances. And he gives us a mashal. He says, you know, imagine a person who's locked up in a tower for 20 years. And nice people, you know, send them up food. You know, so they wouldn't starve. And one day after 20 years, he decides to try the door. And the door has been open all 20 years. He hasn't really been in prison. Right? They say that, I believe, by Houdini, that the one thing that they almost got him on was that they put him in a prison. They told him to break the lock, and he was unable to do so. Exasperated, he just leaned against the door, and it flew open. He wasn't able to pick the lock because the lock was never locked. And so often in our lives, we believe that we are imprisoned in our own limitations of what we believe we are capable of doing, or our own limitations of what our fears are of what may happen. But as he says, once we're able to realize that the door isn't locked, then we have sky's the limit where we're able to achieve in life. And he says the key is to be able to be in the driver's seat. As he says in 42, it's a continuation. 43 is Orach HaSachayim. He says this, you would never drive in a car with a person who doesn't have their hands on the steering wheel. I was thinking about that last week and my hands weren't on the steering wheel. But you're right, even if it's momentary, we do usually drive with our hands on the steering wheel. We wouldn't want to drive an entire course with a person whose hands aren't on the steering wheel. But imagine how people drive their lives and lead their lives with their hands aren't on the steering wheel. And is it any wonder why the car crashes in so many different directions and swerves and goes out of control? All it takes is to put your hands on the steering wheel and to be able to drive. And yes, there'll be potholes in the road, and yes, there'll be turns and curves, yes, but at least you're going to be driving your car. And that is what we have to do, not to be just dragged along in life, but be able to take hold. And that's what Rav Shach speaks about in a beautiful sefer some of my students gave me for Pesach, Orach HaSachayim, which deals with different stories of Rav Shach, where he says, if you keep your eye on the goal, and you know what you're trying to achieve in life, then you'll be able to deal with all of those difficulties that may come your way because you know where you want to head. Before finishing up the second idea and adding the third, even though I know the hour is late, I'd like to share a short, long story. It's a long story that I'm going to shorten. From the Sefer Mountain Climbers by Malki Feig, which is a story which deals with people who overcame adversity. And one of my favorite stories in the Sefer, I didn't read all of it, but the one I like the most from what I read, it's a story about an individual, and I think it really encompasses this idea of Pesach Sheni, who was born as the ninth child. When he was 2 years old, he was orphaned from his father. By the time he was 9 years old, all 8 older siblings had died from disease. And at 9 years old, his mother also died and was taken by typhus and all these diseases. So at 9 years old, he is bereft of his entire family. He was taken in by his grandparents, who fed him barely, minimum food. Went off to yeshiva to learn. Then he was in Lo Aleinu, he was in the Shoah. He was in the concentration camps and went through the atrocities of the war. And when he came out, all he wanted to do was to be able to build a family and rebuild everything that he lost as a 9-year-old child. That was his only dream. And at the age of 36, 38, he marries a woman who also went through the war. And both of their dreams, they moved to America, was to have children and to be able to rebuild. And their dream was never realized. And his wife was a very sickly type of person. He was married for 20 years to this woman, and she dies. He's now 58 years old and has nobody in life. But he still has this fervent dream of wanting to build a family, of having children of his own. So he tells his friends and matchmakers, he wants a woman who's able to have children and build a family. And they try to tell him in a nice way, you're a little bit old, over the hill. We spoke about last week. Retirement age, this is not a time to start a family, but he's adamant. He says, I know what I've been through, and I know what I want. And they set him up with a woman who had 5 little kids, considerably younger than him. And he said, I'm ready to take on these children. And it describes how he said that most 60-year-olds would be coming home and the last thing they want is, kids bickering at each other. He said this was like music to his ears, even though they weren't his own children. And sure enough, he had 3 little girls with this woman. And it describes how at the age of 60, he's dancing around the hospital like, as a new father. And they look at him like, he must be the grandfather, the great-grandfather. No, he is the father after all of these years. He's never given up hope. And at 84, he marries off his first child. And, you know, he's writing in the book, he's 90 and going strong. This is a person who doesn't fall into yayush, who doesn't fall into despair. Most people at 9 years old would have given up on life. After the Holocaust and what happened to him by 9 years old would have given up on life. After the Holocaust, what happened to him 9 years old, the Chagadja, and having losing a wife and not being able to have children, would just go into depression and despair. This is a person who represents Pesach Sheni. There's always a chance if you take control of your life and you have a vision, you can move forward, you can go ahead. As long as there's breath of life in you, you do not give up hope. I will mention, because it's important to mention before continuing, the story of Rav Shach, Ruchos Chaim, it tells of a story once where an Avrech, a young fellow, saw Rav Shach, you know, walking, and said to him, Rebbe, Rabbeinu, I need Sarifli Vasheya at 44, I need help in a certain area. So Rav Shach's immediate response was, Hashem Yasor, Hashem will help. And then afterwards, Rav Shach retraced his steps and said to the Avrech, Mi amar shata tzarichli vasheya? Who said you have to be saved? How do you know that this is exactly what you need? This is what you hope for, but recognize that whatever God gives you at any moment in time is exactly where you need to be, and you need to daven that Hashem will treat you with chesed and rachamim, but have the emunah that everything is for our good. So when we talk about taking control and being proactive and moving forward and never giving up, that doesn't mean you'll always be successful. But that's not in our hands. Success, whether we will have those child or we won't have that child, that's in God's hand. But what was in his ability was to marry somebody who was of childbearing age and to have that ardent desire. But what is the end result? That's not in our hand. They didn't know whether there'd be a Pesach Sheni or not, but they could ask and they could daven, and that is our responsibility. And that's why the Sichur Yitzchak could point out in sources 45 through 48 that a major model of the Tzkufa, of this period of time, is Rabbi Akiva. Keep in mind, Rabbi Akiva, he doesn't mention this, but it's obvious, and we'll get to his idea in a moment. Rabbi Akiva is somebody who represents this idea. He lost 24,000 students. That's his whole yeshiva. And he then builds from five students, and then really the entire Torah Sheva'al Peh comes from these five students. That's the model of not giving up hope. Can you imagine someone, Lo Aleinu, can't even imagine losing 24,000 students. Your entire yeshiva dies in a terrible plague in a short time. It would lead most of us to despair. The time of Tkufa Sa'omer, the time where we stop mourning, is the week of hope, the week of Lag BaOmer, or we have that break, because this is a message of Rabbi Akiva, never give up hope. He speaks about it more specifically in that model of the water drops that affected Rabbi Akiva that eventually made a hole in the rocks. And he realizes that each drop of water has an effect. We only look at the cumulative value. That last drop must have made the hole. But we can't forget that without the first 100 or 1,000 drops, that hole wouldn't have been made. And says the Sichur Yitzchak, this teaches us in our Avodas Hashem that we can't allow ourselves to despair. And we have to try time in again and again. Every Machshava Tova, every good thought in Middle 46, and every shtokukos, every desire, every tefillah, every bakasha, all of our ratzon makes a roshim gadol, makes a great impression in Shemayim. And that's the idea of a balatayr mesainoto, one who comes to be purified, will be helped in the plural. Because it's the malachim, it's the angels that are created with each and every time that we try. And recognize that in life, it's not just about the Western mentality of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. We live happily ever after. Yes, I might have tried to work on my tefillah 30 times, 40 times, 50 times. Each time is precious to God. Each time is another drop in that water. And my job is to keep on trying over and over again. Even if I'm not successful, even if I'm a derech rechoka, even if I'm far, I have Pesach Sheni. I can try again. I can try again and again. And that's a lesson to learn. I believe Lahavdil, this is the brand 409, that's the cleaner. So that's what I've heard. I'm sure guys are aware of this as well. That's called 409. They tried 408 different formulas. That was the 409th that worked. My friends, I have no stock in 409. Go out and buy it during Sfiras HaOmer. Look at it. Study it. Be inspired by it. 409, here we come. 4009, whatever it is. No yeus. Don't give up hope. Don't despair. That's what Pesach Sheni is about. You can't bring the carbon down into Hashem. At least take control and see if there's another option. Part of our ability to be able to keep on fighting when it seems to be so overwhelming and so difficult to keep on going is a recognition that the Lekach Balibov points out in 49 of the idea of Hinei Tfachol Natati Yamai. Rabbunim speaks about that when you take a rope and you're measuring it, so all you have in front of you is that Amma, is that unit that you're measuring right now in front of you. And the Lekach Balibov of the hour is late, so we don't have time to develop it right now, speaks about that our lives, the key to our lives in the bracket in 49. Zoi tachlit hadam lasiach dat nakol. Forget your past, forget your future. V'lachshov rak al harega hahu sheyesh lefanav. Look at the moment you have in front of you. Ma alav lasot achshav. What does God want from you at this moment? And that is the way to be successful. And this is in 50B, why we have every day, we count Sfiras HaOmer separately. Each and every day, to say to ourselves, remind ourselves, yes, to think, I had to try 409 times, that's overwhelming. But to say to yourself, I'm only trying it in the here and now, this davening, this bracha, this asher yatzah, this ben adam l'chaveiro, whatever it is, if I'm working on the here and now, this interchange with this person, I can't think about the last 40 or what the next 50 will bring, but what about the here and now? If I'm able to focus it on that, I may be successful. And that's the koach that we have to be able to elevate every moment in front of us to be potential kedusha. There's a gevaldik vort of the Chasam Sofer on the Pasuk in 53 in the Parshat Emor. Hataber b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem mo'adei Hashem asher tikru otam yikrei kodesh ein lehem mo'adai. These are the festivals of Hashem that you should call holy, times of holiness. These are my festivals. And then it talks about Shabbos, and then it says, Ein lemo'adei Hashem in elus lemo'adi. Says the Chasam Sofer something gevaldik. He said, if a person is makdish, if a person sanctifies their entire day and night completely to Hashem, then in a certain respect, they have created that day as a mo'ad. And that's what it means, that these are the days, asher tikru otam mikrei kodesh. Whatever day of the week you want, today could be mikrei kodesh. These are the ones that Hashem wants. Yes, Eilamot Hashem, these are the list, the Pesach Shavuot. But Eilamot Hashem, Asher Tikru Otam Mikrei Kodesh, you can call them Mikrei Kodesh. Eilamot Mikrei Hashem Shayachim B'chol Yom Sheyeh. It's weird to get an explanation point. But this is it. We can create the Mo'adei Hashem. We can create the Shabbos. We can create the Moed by recognizing what we have in front of us and living in the present and elevating it. And it's no wonder Sfasemis points out that the 7 weeks of Sira are called Sheva Shabbatos, because these 7 weeks are about creating Shabbos, about creating Kedusha, about working on ourselves and never giving up, taking each moment and trying to build it to the best of our ability. So therefore, my friends, the second level, if the first is about Hashem loves everybody and no one is pushed away, the second level is about that you can never have yeush, never have despair, that every single person has the ability to take control and to daven. The results aren't in our hand, but we can never throw in the towel. We always have the ability to move forward and to try 408, 409, until we've either achieved our goal or till the last breath of life within us. The final level, which we have exactly 4 minutes to do, so we'll do it very briefly. It deserves its own time, obviously. It's a third lesson from the Pesach Sheni. It's a very beautiful idea the Lekach Balibov brings, and I'll do it outside in 57 and 58. There's a story in our parasha of Emor of a person who says he's from Shevet Dan, and he curses when Shevet Dan throws him out, And he's a Makalo, and he's stoned for cursing God when he heard that he's not allowed to be in the camp of Dan. So explains the Lech Avalibu very beautifully here. Had this individual, Dan took in everybody who had no place to live, and had this individual said, I have no place to live, I'm a ger, I'm a stranger, I'm a convert, I need to live in your place, they would say, Besimcha, please come here, you're more than welcome. What was his problem? His problem was, he says, I'm from Dan. He didn't know his situation with clarity. And says the Lech Avalibu, that's the greatness of these people in Pesach Sheni. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu making a statement, which was known. They say, we are Tmeim LaNefesh Adam. We are impure. Why did they say this? Because they are saying, we know where we are at. We know who we are. And it's with this knowledge that we're then able to reach higher levels. Because as we know, one of the 48 ways of Kinyanei Torah is Amakir Mekomo. If you don't know your place, you can't possibly get to another place. You have to be able to say, I know who I am. I'm Tamei LaNefesh. I know my state of being. I know what depths I've reached. When you know who you are, when you're able to say, I'm a ger, but I'd like to join you. I know I'm Tamei LaNefesh, but I'd like to bring a korban. When you're able to state where you're at in life, that's the prerequisite to be able to move forward. And it's interesting because with that prerequisite, they create a new parsha in Chumash. They create this law of Pesach Sheni. And explains the Arizal in Source 60 that the Eser Lashonos in Birkas Kriyat Shema in Mimaro B'Kadosh until Adona Niflau are connected to 10 spheros. And Borei Refuos, that God creates out of nowhere, healing is Neged Sfirat Hod, is corresponding to this week of hope. And he says, at the end of 60, let's learn together. He says, the time of Sfirat Hod is Mesuga, Hod is Malshon Hodah, when I'm able to give thanks. Ayudei Hodah Shel Lakadosh Baruch Hu, it's to give thanks, and it's Lid Vadot, to confess. The week of Hod, when they're able to confess, we're Tmeim L'Nefesh Adah, when they're able to say, Mina Meksar Karatika, we know what depths we're in, then Anani Bamerchavka and Ka Yud Hey, it's a gematria of Ho. This is the time in the week of Ho to be able to turn to Hashem, knowing full well wherever we're at, and say, Hashem, I know where I'm at. But I also know that knowing where I'm at, I can turn to you and you can be Borei Refuos. You can create out of nowhere a yesh ma'ayin, healing, and it could be refusa nefesh, refusa guf, healing of the body, healing of the spirit. You can create a new reality. But you have to know where you're at and where you want to go. And this is, I think, the third message of Pesach Sheni, where the people were able to admit very clearly who and what they were. And it was coming from that place of screaming out that they created a new reality. When we try to fool ourselves in thinking we are who we're not, in thinking that we're in a place that we're really not, and we don't have that honesty of realization that I'm really farther down, that who am I fooling? I'm not from Dan. I am Tamei LaNefesh. I know where I'm at. When I'm able to be honest and know where that level is, then Anani B'merchavka, then there could be an opening where Hashem can respond to us. But if you're not going to be honest with yourself, then what type of honest tefillah are you really asking for? And this is why Rav Pinkus notes in 61 on the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Al Tira Tolas Yaakov, don't worry, and refers to Yaakov as a tolad, as a worm. And Klai Yisrael are referred to as a worm. What is the koach of a worm? Part of it is their koach of tefillah. The koach is in their pet, which is the koach of tefillah. And also a worm never gives up. It will try this way and that way to be able to get through to their destination through the walls. We have to be like that worm, to have the koach in our path, and to realize that we can never give up. And therefore, my friends, Pesach Sheni, whether it's this year or in years to come, as well as the entire week of Hod. If you listen to this year after Pesach Sheni, don't have yayos, don't despair. Too late now, listen to us Thursday night cooking. No, don't worry. It's the entire week of Hod. It's from Pesach Sheni for many years because it's a message of Pesach Sheni. God loves everybody. Lag BaOmer is to feel that love, to be enhanced by that love, the tefillah of the week of Hod, the Moskin Lo Kosheni, it's Kana Ben Choel, it's a time of davening, time of the doors are open for never 7 days, and the prayers of those who are distant are so beloved to God. It's a message for us that whatever we are in life, we could be 60 years old, never give up, no matter what you've been through. Always move further and further in life. And finally, be honest with the recognition of who and what you are, and from that place, be able to dive into Hashem.